Dr. Kevin Most, who is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Doc, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Bob. How about yourself?
I'm trying to keep my immune system up. I'm eating bananas, avocados, trying to get some sun, so the vitamin D is running through my system. That's the best thing you can do, right?
Good. Yeah, especially with the weather the way it is now, getting outside for a little exercise will help your immune system as well as help your psyche as well. So please take advantage of that this weekend.
Have you noticed people getting out more and going to the doctor to get the checkups? Because I know a lot of people have put things off. That's still a big problem, though, isn't it?
It definitely is. You know, during the middle of all of this, while we're still increasing, a lot of our primary care doctors, as well as a lot of our specialists, switched over to more telephone and video calls. But now we are starting to see more coming back to the office when it's appropriate, which is great. So the primary care visits, the pediatrics, the kids that are needing immunizations are getting those back on time. And we're starting to see now we're opening up a little bit more for elective surgeries as well as elective procedures like colonoscopies and mammograms. So it's nice that we're on the downward end of this curve, and it's going to be with us, but at least we're starting to get back to some semblance of what the new normal may be.
Dr. Most, help us with this confusion about tests. How accurate are these COVID-19 tests? And then what's the story on the antibody tests? And who should be getting what test?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question that everyone's asking, and we need to make sure that everyone kind of understands the difference between the tests. When you talk about the accuracy of the tests, you know, Abbott has a machine that can do this test that took a lot of heat, and it really shouldn't have. The heat should have been more on how the specimen was collected, how quickly it was run. If you follow what Abbott says and you do the test quickly after it's collected, then it's great, and you can get results in 15 minutes, and it's highly accurate. The other platforms that we have, you can't get the results as quick, but you can, but they are more accurate, I'll say, and more specific as well as sensitive. So we have a machine now called the Panther by Hologic that we can do 3,000 tests a day just at Central DuPage. So you remember the days when testing first started, we were lucky to be able to do 100 a day just because of the amount of time it did and the complexity. Well, now we've caught up at least, and we're able to do those much easier. So that's testing for the virus itself. The blood test that everyone is talking about is testing for antibodies. And what the antibodies are is we're looking to see if you had the disease, did you form a response to the disease? Early on, we had difficulties with those tests as well as we had an influx of tests that were substandard from China. We now have allowed the FDA to work with companies to make sure that the testing that we're doing now is very accurate. And we're looking for something called the IgG antibody, which would show us that you were infected in the past and then you currently have antibodies circulating in your bloodstream.
And do we know yet if you've had the virus, how long, or if even you're immune to it, to getting it again?
Nope. That's our concern. So this virus is so new, we don't know. It's nice to know that you have antibodies, but we don't know how functional they are. We certainly hope that they're going to be enough to neutralize or at least block a portion of the illness, similar to what we see with individuals after getting a flu shot. We're really hoping that you have total immunity, but that's still, we won't know that for another 6 months, potentially even another year, depending on how the resurgence of the virus is come this fall.
Dr. Most, how concerned are you and your colleagues about these protests and these large groups of people we're seeing around the country gathering right now?
Very concerned. You know, it's one of the reasons that we're not going back to sporting events. You know, and I don't want to compare any of these protests to sporting events. I'm looking at it just from the science side of it. We're putting people in large, close groups that are yelling, singing, chanting, speaking loudly, many of them without masks and definitely without any physical distancing. So we also aren't screening any of these individuals, right? When we start to go back to sporting events, we may screen people before they come in for their temperature, for symptoms. We're not screening any of these individuals. So now you may have a symptomatic person who has a fever and cough participating because he feels it's the right thing to do. You may have asymptomatic people doing this. And we have to remember, those masks that everyone is wearing attempts to protect you from anyone else. It doesn't protect you 100%. So our concern is that you've had large gatherings. You either had asymptomatic or symptomatic people in these large gatherings, spreading it to people who, again, we didn't screen for vulnerability. We didn't say, hey, if you're over the age of 65, if you have diabetes, if you have hypertension, don't go to these marches. So we potentially have put a vulnerable population right in there with individuals who are sick. It's the same reason we're not allowing visitors in hospitals. You know, so we really, we've got our fingers crossed, and we realize that this is not just a Chicago issue. This is across the country where we may see a resurgence.
Mm. And in a perfect world, all the protesters would get tested whether they show symptoms or not, right?
Well, yeah, that's actually the recommendation right now. We're saying anybody who participated in a protest or a march, please take the opportunity to get tested. You know, a lot of these marches happened around a week ago, but they have continued, obviously, almost every evening. But we have free testing available in the state of Illinois at 12 different sites. They're all open right now. It's free. You don't have to have symptoms anymore to get tested. So we're trying to identify those asymptomatic and early infected people. So please, anyone who has protested, please look to see where the testing facility is in your neighborhood and get tested. It's free, and it will give you a great idea as to what the plans are as we move forward.
Back with Dr. Kevin Most with Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Doc, there was a study that was released a couple days ago, and I believe it was the CDC in Beijing, a new study, and the researchers looked at how the virus is spread, and they found that the highest rate of the virus being on a surface was found on toilet seats, 16.7%, and that was followed by hospital floors at 12.5%, bins, doors, and handrails, 4%. The scientists were surprised to find just 2 out of the 22 swabs they took from mobile phones had detectable levels of the virus. Anything in there surprise you?
No, not really. It's actually somewhat encouraging. You know, when we think about mobile phones, in order for it to get on a mobile phone, it has to be on your hand. So if that number is low, that means that hand washing is working appropriately, which is great. Not surprising that it's on the floors of hospitals where we're treating COVID-positive patients. We know that when they cough, which droplets will then go to the floor. That being said, I can assure you that the cleaning mechanisms that we're doing in the hospitals are unbelievable as far as the changes that we've made, especially in our COVID units as far as how we're cleaning. Again, I don't want people to be overly concerned about the amount of and where they're finding this. We have to remember that the vast majority, over 95, 98% of the transmissions of this are from person to person. That coughing and the speaking in front of somebody, similar to what our concerns are with the protesters and the marchers.
Yeah, this study concluded that large respiratory droplets and direct contact transmissions are the major transmission routes for the COVID-19. And let's see, I think they found, here it is, on average there was 3 times the amount of virus in a patient's breath compared to on surfaces. So that's exactly what you're saying.
Correct. And when it's on their breath and coming out, it's live, it's very viable. After it sits on the surface for a while, it may still grow, but we don't know if it's infectious. So there's definitely that issue as well.
So the other day when it was in the news that here in Illinois there was a dip in infections, how encouraging is that? What does that mean to you? Because sometimes when we hear these numbers, it's kind of misleading because you think, well, wait a minute, there's more testing, so there's going to be more cases. But I think it was Wednesday the numbers specifically indicated a dip in infections.
Yeah, I wish I could say that was super encouraging. But you have to look at the timing of that as well. During the protests and the marches, the city and the state, you know, shut down their facilities. So, of course, we're going to see a decrease in the number of positive cases when you're not doing as much testing. Our bigger number, bigger concern now is now that all 12 sites are back open for the state, are we going to see an increase here? So was the decrease because we closed down, or was the decrease actual a true decrease? That being said, there's very encouraging news when you look at the number of hospitalizations, the number of patients on the ICUs, and the number of patients on ventilators. All of those are down over the past couple weeks, and we're on a continuing downward trend. For the first time in a long time, Northwestern Medicine downtown has less than 100 patients. For the first time in months, Central DuPage Hospital has less than 50 patients. So we were definitely on a downward trend, and now we just have to keep our fingers crossed and hope that the protester outbreak does not form an outbreak, is what I meant to say.
And we're not going to know anything about that for, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's exactly right. You know, if someone gets infected now, they can go, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 days before they have symptoms, and then another few days before they get sick to a point of coming to the hospital. So we should know something between 10 and 14 days from now as far as the impact of what that's going to be. You know, the protests started probably, what, a week ago. So we're probably 10 days from now. We should probably start to see if there's going to be an impact.
Lou Manfredini mentioned this, and I know people like this, too, who are just afraid to go out. Not just seniors or people with health conditions, but folks of all ages. I know somebody in my family who's a lot younger than I am, and they're not going anywhere. There's no need to do that to that extreme, especially if you're relatively healthy, right?
Correct. Matter of fact, you know, we're recommending, you know, now people make sure you get outside a little bit. If you look at what we've asked over the last couple of months, we've isolated people from their friends. We've isolated them from just about everything. We've kept them indoors for a vast portion of this time. The mental side of this is the part that we start to get concerned about once we get the infection under control. Anxiety levels are up. Depression levels are up. So we are recommending now, get out, walk around. You can go and see friends now. Still physically distanced, but you can go out and see friends. Restaurants are open, outdoor seating downtown. Not only are they physically distanced, but the tables are set up appropriately. So, you know, you want to get over to Tofano's again for some good Italian food? Then you know what? Go out and do that. It's time that we start to do some of these things, but be smart. Wear your mask, physically distance, and make sure that the people that you're with are following the same recommendations.
You know, most of the stores that I've been in quite a few, because Mrs. Surratt gives me her list, have done a pretty good job with those notices on the floor where to stand, and with the plastic between you and the cashier, and the employees wearing masks. And it's not like they've been overcrowded. It seems like people are kind of spread out with their shopping times now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the retailers had some time to figure out how they were going to manage this. And I think, like you said, the ones that have been open now have thought about it, because their goal is to stay open. Their goal is to make sure that they're doing their part to stop this and slow this spread, because they want to stay in business. So they're going to do everything they can. I think you'll find places much more tolerant. I think you'll start to see individuals start to understand and look at the floors for guidelines and for markers. It came up in the grocery store. Now I can tell you it's unfortunate, but every place you're going now, you're looking down for those guidance markers on the floor as to where to stand. I think we need to keep our heads up still and smile and be optimistic, but also look for those visual markers.
Yep. Dr. Kevin Most, thanks as always. We'll talk to you next week. I know you'll be enjoying the weekend, because it sounds like you've got a 7-course meal planned for Tofano's. They'll be ready for you, I'm sure. Thanks as always.
You got it, Bobby. We'll talk about some exciting vaccine stuff on Monday.
Oh, yeah. I do want to get to that with you. I know it's a large phase 3 trial, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it we'll talk on Monday because it'll be very interesting and I think encouraging not only about the vaccine, but what else is going on there. So we'll talk about that Monday morning.
Have a good weekend.
You got it. Take care.